Well, good morning, Green Valley family, and happy July 4th weekend. As you know, we're online only today, so we are literally one church in a lot of different places, and we're so glad that you have joined us wherever you're tuning in from today. Well, we're here, a few of us are, but we're especially glad that you have joined us online today. Now, this summer, we're going through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and so today we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. And so if you've got a Bible close by, you can turn over to Luke chapter 11. You know, here at Green Valley, we have several focus points, four to be exact. You can find them on the front page of the website. They're located out in the lobby of our building, hanging on the wall. And each one of those focus points starts with that we are a movement of Jesus followers that, and then there's a phrase, we are a movement of Jesus followers that refresh others with acts of kindness from Proverbs 11:25. We are a movement of Jesus followers that have life-changing conversations. We are a movement of Jesus followers that pursue racial unity as we focus in on John chapter 17 and Jesus' prayer about unity. And then this one, we are a movement of Jesus followers that believe that when we pray, things happen. Well, interesting enough today, Luke chapter 11 kind of turns our attention to that focus point. Now, you're going to notice in Luke chapter 11, this is a very familiar passage. This is the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes we read the Lord's Prayer and we just kind of stop there. But there's a story that Jesus tells after the Lord's Prayer that he really is making a point that we need to have in our mind as we pray. So if you've got your Bibles close by, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Let's begin reading through the first few verses together. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. In other words, they're watching Jesus pray, and they basically think, hey, I don't think we're doing this right. Jesus, tell us how to do it. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, we're not going to focus on that part of the passage, but I want you to think about this because I think it's very important. If you don't do anything but just read a couple of phrases there, it gives you a perspective about prayer. He says, Father. In other words, when you talk to your Creator, your Savior, you Father is what he says. Hey, address me as Dad. And he says, hallowed be your name. He says, don't ever forget the greatness of God. And so whatever you bring to God in prayer, and you need to bring everything to him in prayer, regardless of what happens with that, you're going to be changed when you understand who you're talking to. It'll give you a different perspective on life. And so I think that's very important that we focus in on that, even as we kind of turn our attention to another part of the passage. So just continue to read with me in verse 5. He begins to tell this story, and he's still talking about prayer. Verse 5, he says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of his friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So think about this story. You probably have all at some point in your life gotten that call. You know, the call on Saturday afternoon from a friend. What are you doing today? Well, we're not doing anything. What are you doing? Well, we're traveling, and actually, we're just about 30 minutes from Hoover. And I thought we might drop by. And that's where the panic sets in, and you start trying to get things ready. Well, just think if 30 minutes away, your friend calls and says, listen, we're traveling. We're really hungry. Thought we'd drop by. We need some food. Then the real panic happens. Well, suppose it happens at midnight. They call at midnight, say, hey, we're about 30 minutes outside of Hoover. Thought we'd drop by. We're really hungry. We'd love to eat. So you can kind of put yourself in a modern day perspective. But in that day, as Jesus tells the story, he says it's midnight. So there's certain things that maybe we forget. First of all, it's really dark. They don't have the light lighting systems that we do, and so it's dark. They've been in bed for a long time because when the sun went down, they went to sleep. And so they've been in bed for hours. It's also just a one-room house, and so everybody is sleeping together in the one room. The man says, listen, my children are with me. And so it's a really bad time for this neighbor to be knocking on his door. But there he is. He's knocking. And he simply said, man, if I get up, I'm going to wake up the whole house. And matter of fact, those of you with small children, you know that when the children go to sleep, there's one objective. Don't wake up the children. But here's this man. He's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking. And eventually it says, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So what is Jesus trying to teach us about prayer? He's given us the Lord's Prayer, but what is he teaching us as it relates to this passage? Well, one of the things I think he's trying to teach us is this, and you need to understand as a follower of Jesus, you need to be aware, I don't have what is needed, but I know who does. Because if you don't have that attitude, basically it comes down to you thinking, hey, my talent and my resources are enough for life. This man realized, hey, I don't have what I need to do what I need to do. And that was to create a hospitable situation for the man that was coming to his house. And so where does he go? He goes to his neighbor. He must understand that his neighbor has the resources. And so there he is. There's an awareness there. And so I think prayer begins with an idea that simply says, I don't have what I need. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. You kind of read in passages like 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 6. It says this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Prayer, at its basis, is a conversation with your Heavenly Father, with Dad, where you tell him, hey, these are my needs. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm fearful of. This is what I know I cannot handle. And you're aware of how much you need him. And so when Jesus tells this story, he says, first of all, just understand that you've got to have the mindset every single day of your need for your Heavenly Father. Otherwise, you're simply saying, I've got this. My talent, my resources, I can handle it all. But also he's telling us in this, not only should you be aware of your standing, but there also should be a boldness in your approach to God. He uses a phrase there we don't use a lot, shameless audacity. That's an interesting phrase. It's a phrase that basically says a shamelessness in the sense that one is insensitive to what is proper. A few weeks ago, I told you guys in a message about parenting that one of the things you want to do with your kids is you want to teach them to have feel. We talk about that a lot in my house. He's like, man, you got to have feel, or this person doesn't have feel. And you remember, I define the word feel this way, and it's F-E-E-L. It means it's acting, responding, and speaking in an appropriate way with an understanding of the current circumstances, audience, and potential results. So listen to this. It's acting, responding, and speaking in an appropriate way with an understanding of the current circumstances, audience, and potential results. The guy knocking on the door at midnight has no feel. He is not aware of the situation. He's not acting, responding, or speaking in an appropriate way. And he has to understand this guy is not going to respond well. He has no feel. But look at this. What Jesus is telling us, he says, as my children, and as it relates to prayer, you don't need to have any feel. You don't need to be so appropriate. In other words, he's telling us, hey, beware of your need and then go boldly to the Father. Jesus interprets it this way. In verse 9, he keep on following along in this story. He says, will you understand that story? And then he says in verse 9, so I say to you, with that understanding of the awareness and the boldness, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You see the progression? The boldness, I'm asking. Then I'm seeking, I'm doing something. And then I'm just going to keep on knocking. And so he says, listen, in prayer, have the awareness, have the boldness. Can we talk for a minute? Do you think sometimes we're too polite in prayer? I mean, think about your prayers. Is this the kind of the approach that you have with God? Is this the awareness that you have with God? Is this the boldness that you have with God? I think a lot of us have been taught growing up, it's like, man, that's you can't have that approach with God. And some would say, that's not very reverent. But why would we have this confidence? Because maybe, I think Jesus knew we were probably going to have that attitude, and we're going to have this like, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, then he goes on. He says, why? The reason you ought to be so confident is in verse 11. Look at this. He says, which of you, he's still telling the story, and he's still talking about prayer. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, listen to this, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, the reason that you have this boldness is because you realize you're talking to Dad. Warren Wiersbe, he puts it this way, talking about this story. He says, Jesus did not say that God is like the grouchy neighbor. In fact, he said just the opposite. If a tired, selfish neighbor finally meets the needs of a bothersome friend, how much more will a loving heavenly Father meet the needs of his own dear children? Now, those of you who have children, you understand this. If you have children, you have all been awakened by that little human in the middle of the night. You've been sound asleep, and for whatever reason, you wake up, and that little human is staring at you just inches away from your face. And after you peel yourself off the ceiling because they have scared you nearly to death, there's a request. And we're not perfect, and we're not great fathers, and we are sinful people. But what do we typically do? We meet the request. That's what Jesus is simply saying. Listen, your heavenly Father's perfect. He has the heart of a father towards you. I remember when Parker, our son, who's a sophomore in college now, was very young. He was just learning to say certain words, and he went through this season where about, it seemed like every night, but very, very often, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, over the monitor, we would simply hear this. Waffle. 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 What he was saying was, I want a waffle. And so for a season there, every night it seemed like, and I'm telling you, it was pretty much every night, we would get up, get him out of his bed, put him in the high chair, get an Eggo waffle, heat it up, give it to him, let him eat it, put him back in the bed. It never crossed his mind when he is in his bed saying waffle, it never crossed his mind that we would walk in there and go, you know what, you should have eaten more before you went to bed. Or you're just going to have to wait till breakfast. No. He was bold. Bold. He had no feel. But he was calling out to his father. And so Jesus paints this picture for his followers, his kids, and says, I've invited you to come to me and to come with an awareness of your condition, but also with a boldness that says, I know Dad wants to hear from me. I know he's inviting me into this process. You know, one of the things that you kind of gather from this passage is not only is there an awareness and a boldness. There is a continuous approach in prayer. Those of you with children know that if you don't respond, what do they keep on doing? They keep on asking. There is a continuous nature. And so I think one of the things that Jesus is teaching us about prayer is don't stop. Persevere. Keep on coming over and over again with shameless audacity, with no feel whatsoever, and talk to me. You know, I just noticed a few minutes ago, this is kind of the ABCs of prayer. I didn't mean for it to be like that, but there's an awareness, there's a boldness, there's a continuous nature to prayer. So let me ask you this. What are you praying for? Are you praying polite prayers? Are you going through the motions? And then I think that leads to the second question is how are you praying? You know, I think we've asked the question before here. If you look back over the last 6 months or the last year, and if all of your prayers were answered, what would it impact? Maybe you and a few of those around you, and what would have been the impact? Would those things have happened anyway? I think part of the challenge here is to go bold, to go big. This guy is knocking on his neighbor's door at midnight, and he asked for 3 loaves of bread, which was an audacious, shameless audacity ask. Really? 3 loaves? Over the top? And so I think our Heavenly Father is going, listen, bring those things on your heart. That big ask, that thing that you are burdened with, that you're afraid to tell anybody, bring it to me with no feel, aware that I'm the only one that can meet that request. And then keep on asking, and God will answer. He may not answer the way you figured it out, but when you come to him with that attitude, continuously, regardless of the circumstances, you will be changed. And that's why here as a church family and wherever we're gathered today, we say over and over again, we are a movement of Jesus followers that believe when we pray, things happen. In Luke chapter 11, reminds us of that.